Chapter 26. Escorted by white-armored custodians, a deputation from the Fellowship of Light was approaching along the pier when Callista and Nunyo climbed up from below decks. Two of them were masters, their rank evident by the richness of their garb, the ridiculousness of their hats, and the intricate golden symbols hanging upon their chests. As they drew closer, Callista recognized them as Hierarch Malgirza and Elder Bartek. The others appeared to be a mix of healers, adepts, high-ranking officials, and priests, though one of them looked notably ominous, garbed in a long, black hooded robe and bearing a tall staff. Callista noted that the brawny figure of Tyrus was among them, his expression stern, and she felt a stab of guilt. As she moved toward the king, Venix sidled up next to her.
"Problem with the husband-to-be, princess?"
the captain asked out of the corner of her mouth.
"Oh, I've realized he's a treacherous swine, so I've called off our betrothal and locked him in a cabin."
"Nice,"
said Venix, nodding approvingly. Callista took her place by Viego, who was standing on the edge of the queen's curtained palanquin to greet the Helians. Ledros was in front of the king, while soldiers of the host stood at attention in a line along the edge of the ship, facing the newcomers. She leaned forward and placed a hand on Ledros's pauldron.
"When this is done, we must talk, you and I,"
she whispered in his ear.
"I've been a fool."
Ledros tensed at the warmth of her breath, but gave a short nod, still facing forward. She straightened his long cloak, smoothing it flat and letting her hand linger a moment longer than was proper. Nunyo cleared his throat and Ledros reddened. It made Callista smile to see this giant of a man blushing like a boy at his first kiss.
"What were you whispering about?"
asked Viego, his gaze locked on the approaching masters.
"Something I should have admitted to myself long ago."
Viego grunted and did not probe further. The procession halted on the dock, and Hierarch Malgirza stepped forward to address the Camavorans.
"Greetings, Lord King,"
she said with a low bow, speaking over the line of the host.
"We come with the council's decision."
Thankfully, it appeared Malgirza was the designated communicator, for Bartek remained in sullen silence, arms folded across his chest.
"Your entreaty has been discussed, and it has been decided that the Fellowship wishes to aid your queen, if it is in our power to do so."
"Wondrous news,"
exclaimed Viego, clapping his hands and stepping down off the queen's litter. He moved swiftly to the edge of the ship, squeezing through the soldiers of the host.
"Extend a ramp! Hurry up now!"
The sailors looked to their captain, who in turn looked to Callista. She gave a curt nod. Instantly, her soldiers parted and sailors slid a boarding ramp forward, bridging the gap between the ship and the dock. Viego stepped onto it and reached out a hand to Malgirza.
"Please, let me help you across. Come, come!"
The kindly woman accepted the king's hand and allowed him to help her step lightly onto the deck of the Daggerhawk.
"I have with me our finest physicians, adepts of the schools of chirurgy and arcano medicine, and other learned folk who may be of assistance, including an expert in the field of toxicants."
"In what?"
"Poisons."
"The lady has it,"
said the Hierarch with a nod to Callista.
"And who is this grim figure?"
asked Viego, indicating the black-robed individual who accompanied the masters.
"He has the look of a gravedigger."
Viego had never been one to censor his thoughts, but Callista had to admit the observation was apt. Upon closer inspection, she noticed that his staff of office was shaped like a shovel. He was short but powerfully built, and around his neck he wore a vial of clear liquid. As if feeling her gaze on it, the man tucked it beneath his robe.
"One of the Brethren of the Dusk. Few understand the liminal boundary between this life and the next better. Do not be put off by his macabre appearance. They are sweethearts, really, and distill the best spiced liqueur in the known world."
Viego smiled and ushered Hierarch Malgirza and her companions forward. He hurried in front of them, leading the way to the golden litter.
My beloved queen is resting at present. I would ask that you take pains not to disturb her. Her health is very frail.
Callista and Nunyo traded a glance. This was the pivotal moment.
They will be thorough, but respectful and gentle. You have my word.
Perhaps just one at a time, so as to not crowd her.
Of course.
Malgirza bowed her head.
Who will be first? You?
Viego asked of a robed physician with two pairs of armless crystal spectacles on his nose.
Come, then.
With a nod, the man followed Viego up the stairs of the litter. Callista edged up a step as well, putting her near in case she was needed. She had no idea how Viego was going to react to whatever happened next. Nunyo, too, stepped closer, wringing his hands nervously. Viego held open the curtain, and the physician stepped inside, stooping beneath the king's arm. The curtain was then dropped, leaving the two of them alone with the queen. The body of the queen, Callista reminded herself. For a moment there was silence, then came the sound of muffled voices which quickly rose in pitch. The curtain was thrown aside and the physician stomped out.
Is this a kind of sick Camavarin joke?
He barked over his shoulder, removing both pairs of spectacles with a pinch of his fingers.
She's dead, man, and has been for some time.
Dead,
exclaimed Elder Bartek, his expression one of alarm.
What is the meaning of this?
Are you certain?
Breathed Hierarch Malgirza, her face paling. Callista could understand why they would be outraged, but Malgirza looked almost afraid. Was her fear born out of what Viego might do if they could not help? Or was there something more?
Oh, I am certain. See for yourself.
He whipped the curtain aside so that all could see within. Viego was kneeling beside the bed, holding the hand of the queen's corpse, and it was obvious to everyone she was a corpse, even from a distance. Despite the power of Mikhail's chalice, her skin had turned a foul gray color, and the flesh had begun to emaciate, shrinking upon her skeleton. Callista saw the queen's blank-eyed doll. What had Isolde called it? Gwen? Propped up against the pillow next to her head. Viego was stroking its hand and whispering to it as if it were Isolde.
Oh, ancestors above.
There was an audible intake of breath from the gathered Helians, who looked aghast. Shouldering the physician aside, Callista snapped the curtain closed, but the damage had been done. The king's madness had been exposed for all to see. At least he seemed relatively calm, though it was only a small mercy.
Why did you come back?
Asked Tyrus, looking up at Callista in bewilderment from nearby.
What did you hope to gain?
We had hoped it would help him finally accept the truth.
Well, it is clear there is nothing we can do,
said Hierarch Malgirza. She still looked fearful, but she was trying to hide it.
I am sorry. All that can be done is to bury her and to grieve. I hope the king will come to accept this in time.
As do I. Thank you.
Malgirza leaned forward and lowered her voice.
Please, if you truly have no ill will toward the people of these isles, make your king leave and do it swiftly. No good will come of lingering. And I must insist that the waystone you used to get here be handed over immediately.
Callista glanced at the curtained litter where Viego was doting on the corpse of Isolde.
I will ensure that it is returned, though perhaps now is not the right moment. He needs to grieve. He will be more amenable later, but I give you my word, it will be done.
The Hierarch hesitated, clearly uneasy, but gave a reluctant sigh.
Fine. But we cannot allow you to leave with it still in your possession. Be sure to relinquish it before you depart.
With those words, the Hierarch bowed her head and turned to leave with her entourage. Tyrus gave Callista one last, disappointed look, and she lowered her eyes, unable to hold his gaze. He walked off with the others, shoulders slumped. One of them lingered, however, the grim monk, his face shadowed by his hood.
In Camavoran's speech, I am not fluent,
he said, his words heavily accented.
Death is not feared among my...
Your holy order? Your brethren?
Brethren,
the monk said, as if testing the shape of the word.
Yes, that is the right term. Death is a part of life, just as is birth. Not to be feared, but sometimes it is hard to let loved ones go. I could help your king, perhaps.
Callista shrugged and ducked behind the curtain. Viego had his head resting on Isolde's lifeless shoulder, his eyes wide and staring.
Viego, there is another who would like to see her. Or would you prefer them to leave now?
They can approach.
Callista ushered the black-robed figure inside. He approached Viego and Isolde, moving with calm and measured assurance. She lingered on the periphery, watching as the monk touched the queen's forehead, then her cheek. He moved his hands above her body, then pulled back his hood. He had a boyish face and a kindly smile, which seemed at odds with his morbid appearance.
She is at peace,
he assured Viego, speaking gently in his halting Camavoran.
Beyond pain, beyond suffering. She is in the light. She is the light.
He tilted his head sideward, as if listening to something no one else could hear, and he laughed.
She says she misses someone. Gwen? A close friend or sister, I think?
Callista's eyes widened in surprise, and she felt the hairs on the back of her neck rise up. Viego's gaze was drawn away from Isolde, and he stared up at the black-robed figure, his expression a piteous mixture of wonder and horror.
She's really gone, then?
In that moment, he sounded just like the sad little boy Callista remembered from childhood. The monk gave a slow nod, a sympathetic smile on his face.
At peace.
Viego buried his face in his hands and began to sob. The monk placed a comforting hand on the king's shoulder, then turned to leave. He gave Callista a nod as he walked by her, pulling up his hood once more.
Thank you.
After he left, Callista sat with Viego, putting her arms around him. They didn't speak. They didn't need to. Finally, he mourned his lost wife. The afternoon shadows were lengthening when Callista finally emerged from the golden palanquin. The docks had been cleared of onlookers, leaving just a detachment of custodians lingering nearby, watching to ensure that the Camavorans did not try to come ashore. Venix was barking orders and her crew scurried about the ship, making it ready to sail once more.
How is he?
Asked Nuño, appearing at Callista's side.
Grieving, finally. He seems to have accepted that she is gone, at long last.
Ancestors be praised.
In the darkness below Helia, Urlok Grail heard the bells ringing. The sound reached down into the vaults, echoing along the labyrinthine empty corridors, reverberating through the cells and claustrophobic chambers where treasures and secrets were locked away. Grail looked up from the piles of books and astronomical charts spread across his room. Without Rise and his runic magic, he had spent the last weeks making plans to get into the Well of Ages without the apprentice's help. But the sound of the bells drew him away from his studies. It led him to the surface, and he crept, blinking, into the moonlit pre-dawn morning. Clusters of adepts and students were chattering and gossiping. Grail stalked through the press of bodies. He found his way into the tiered gardens of the sublime arithmetic, crunching across gravel as he headed toward one of the low stone walls. From there, he was able to gain a view over the harbor below. He saw the approaching many-sailed ship, illuminated by the mighty beam of the largest of the Helian lighthouses. Grail smiled broadly in recognition. There was only one nation that sailed ships of that design. His smile faltered as he scanned the ocean. There was only a single ship. Where were the others? Where were the vaunted warships of Camivore? Where were its armies? Still, even a single ship of bloodthirsty Camivoran killers would be enough. The masters would refuse their demands, of course, and bloodshed would surely follow. Helia was completely unprepared. Vulnerable. He hurried through the streets, heart thumping in excitement. They had come. They had breached the mists as he had planned. Everything was starting to fall into place. He lingered near the dock, his hood drawn over his face, waiting for his moment. He watched as the custodians blocked the outsider's progress, and then as the porcine figure of Bartek, the same hated master who had condemned him to the thresholds so long ago, loudly demanded answers. Grail's breath quickened as he realized that the Camivoran king himself was aboard the ship.
"Do it,"
Grail urged as Bartek goaded them. Everyone knew Camivorans were a bellicose people, quick to anger and quick to attack, and he could barely contain his eagerness to see the blood of the masters spilled. And yet, to his surprise and disappointment, the Camivorans did not rise to the bait. Bartek was yanked unceremoniously from his box and replaced by the hierarch of esoteric geometry, that scheming harpy Malgirza. He watched them speak, and he watched the masters depart, and still he watched and waited. The sun rose, painfully bright, but he resisted the urge to slink back into the comforting darkness below the city. There were far too many custodians to allow him to get close to the ship, and so he kept waiting. His opportunity came in the hours after the masters had returned and left again, as the Camivorans appeared to be preparing to depart. The ship's crew scurried like ants, and Grail's good humor shattered. This was not how he had imagined things would turn out. This was not how it was meant to be. There were still dozens of custodians near the ship, but he couldn't wait any longer. He was challenged as he stepped onto the dock. Two helmed custodians barred his way.
"Step aside. I have business with the Camivorans."
"What business? And on whose authority?"
He lifted up his sigil.
"I am a warden prefect, and I come on the order of the Magister of Thresholds."
"This is the first I've heard of it,"
said one of the custodians.
"Go back and get a writ of authority if you want to get by."
"There is no time, fool. They will have sailed before I'm halfway back. The Magister will be furious. But if you insist, then let me take your name to her, so she knows who it was who countermanded her explicit order."
"Oh, just let him past. The Magister's a right vicious one. She'd see us docked a month's pay and condemned to vault duty if we're lucky. It's not worth it. Not over a thresher."
Grail bristled at the casual insult but did not offer a retort. The custodian would pay, as they all would. And if all went as he hoped, they would pay today.
"Fine, go through, Thresher,"
said the first custodian, stepping aside.
"But I don't want any trouble. See that you are gone long before the Camivoran sets sail."
Grail swept by them and stalked over to where the outsider's ship was moored. None of the other custodians stopped him. Few of them even gave him a glance. At last, he came to the Camivoran ship. He stopped on the edge of the pier.
"I would speak with the king,"